Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal. August 9th and 10th, outdoors at Parchon Propos. Featuring Metallica, Slayer, The Offspring, performing Smash at Lamb of God. Festival passes on sale now. Visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by FNCO.
You're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast with your host, Mark Striegel, and special guest co-host, Victor M. Ruiz. iTunes number one hard rock and metal podcast. I'm Bud Friendly. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Victor.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Talking Metal, although this is recorded and not live. This is Victor over in Spain, and somewhere in Middle America, Mark Striegel.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Middle America, man. I'm in Georgia. Is that Middle America?
My bad. No, I'm fucking way off there. Somewhere in the deep south.
Yeah, I'm in Georgia, Brunswick, Georgia. I'm at my father-in-law's house. I'm sitting in his kitchen, and they are actually in the next room over playing some music, so hopefully that isn't leaking through. But we're having a great time down here. My kids are asleep, and we were going to do a live show, although the internet Wi-Fi, I wasn't real confident in the signal. So we are here, Victor and I, on a Friday night doing something like our normal Friday night live show. However, it's not live. Just because I was afraid that we would be cutting out and dropping out, and I didn't want to risk that. But a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, Victor. First off, something John and I briefly spoke about in our last podcast, and we had only just found out about it like hours before we recorded the podcast, is that Rob Dukes has left Exodus. I think this is really big news in the metal world, and big news to Talking Metal, since Rob Dukes has really been kind to us on a number of levels and has shared a lot with us interview-wise on a number of levels. Just wanted to get your opinion as somebody who maybe doesn't know Rob personally like John and I do. Thoughts on Rob leaving Exodus and Steve coming back into the fold.
Yeah, it's a bit odd because, I mean, I was reading some of the captions earlier today, and Steve Zetro, however you want to call him, has said, well, you know, it was a big sort of deal for me to come back and sort of figure out, you know, if I wanted to come back. The guy's been campaigning for the position for I don't know how long. I mean, he's done this solo project, for the last few years. And they just keep bringing up in interviews how he wanted to come back to Exodus. So it just seems sort of ludicrous, at least to me, that you keep campaigning for it, you're back, and then now you're saying, well, you know, it was a big, difficult decision for me. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Right.
To be quite honest, I preferred Rob's voice in the band. I always thought that Zetro's voice just was sort of thin and just didn't put the band over, in my opinion. I know a lot of diehards are going to be crapping on me because of that, but that's just my opinion. I think that, you know, Rob's put out some great music with Generation Kill, and it just goes to show what a great musician he is, where he isn't just focused in on doing one type of music, and he's done a lot of different, you know, metal genres with Generation Kill, or at least touched upon a bunch of different things that really pique my interest more than, you know, what he's done with Exodus. Not to knock that at all, but I mean, that last Generation Kill album was definitely one of the best albums to come out last year. And it's one of the, I mean, I always ask a lot of people, you know, does it make sense to record a full album anymore? Because, you know, a lot of times people are only doing 2-3 solid songs. That whole album is solid throughout, and it's, you know, it takes you really on a musical journey through different styles of metal, and it really, you know, from the first listen was something that really appealed to me. So, you know, reading that Dukes was out of the band after hearing that Generation Kill album really was sort of, you know, head scratching to me. I guess I understand from a marketing or business standpoint, bringing, you know, Steve back, I guess, you know, they figure that's going to bring more people in to see the shows.
I think that had to be it personally. I just think, you know, this had to be some sort of financial decision that, you know, if we get back together with Steve, he's more from the classic days and we're going to be able to get more doing festivals. And I mean, listen, everyone from, you know, Slayer to Dokken has at some point, some of them right on Talking Metal have hinted that, you know, when you do have these original members or members of the classic lineup in the band, you can sometimes get more for performances and festivals. I mean, you know, Lynch, and I think it was Lynch on Talking Metal late 2013 said that, you know, if they would have the classic Dokken lineup back together, they could make more money. And to me, when I think of Exodus, I as a kid loved the Bonded by Blood record, which Steve wasn't even on, you know, and the albums that followed that, quite frankly, some of them are good, but some of them aren't so good, and some of them are downright awful. Right. I mean, Force of Habit. I mean, did people really want to hear anything off of that record? I mean, that wasn't, you know, no offense to Michael Butler of the Rock and Roll Geek Show, who plays on that record, but I don't know. I mean, there's a few kind of all right songs on that record, but I don't think anybody wants to hear tunes off of that record. And I think it's weird, man. I think in some ways the stuff they did with Dukes was, you know, it was fierce and it was powerful and it was strong. And, you know, I know it was really only, what, 3 records, I guess, with him. Was it 3 records with Dukes or 4? I'm trying to think.
I thought it was 2, but you might be right. It might be 3.
No, it was 3. Yeah, because it was, one. I'm actually just pulling up Wikipedia right now. Yeah, 3 records with Dukes. I don't know. I think it's strange that Steve's back in the band personally, but who knows? I can't help but think it's a financial thing. That's where I stand with it, and we shall see, I guess. And we also shall see how much interest there truly is in this, you know?
No, I agree with you. I mean, the other thing that's sort of puzzling is, wouldn't you think that Holt's situation with Slayer should be, you know, sort of figured out before something like this happens?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his situation with Slayer is. It may be he's just a hired gun, and maybe that's what Rob Dukes was in Exodus. I don't know. in the public, they try to, whenever these bands have lineup changes and stuff, they always try to make it look like, you know, the new guy's a part of the band, but generally the new guy is not, you know, getting financially what the other guys are getting, even when it comes to splitting the new, you know, getting a split on the new material and gigs and whatnot. So who knows? I wish the best to Rob Dukes. I hope this means more Generation Kill, and I hope Generation Kill can really break through. And I know it's tough. Although, what are they on? They're on like Nuclear Blast or some fairly decent indie label. So let's hope the best for them. And listen, I'm Team Rob Dukes. I like the guy. He's a decent guy. He's got an incredible voice. And part of me wants to revisit and play some of his material that he did with Exodus right now. But I actually think we should look ahead and focus on what he's going to be focusing on, which I shared a few text messages back and forth with him through the week, and it sounds like it's going to be Generation Kill, and I think there's nothing better for us to do than play a little Generation Kill for the Talking Metal listeners, because if you listen to this show, you probably already know Generation Kill, but if you're a newer listener or an older listener, maybe you just need to be reminded about Generation Kill. So let's get into a song called Vegas right now by Generation Kill. Wow!
Yeah.
right there, you heard a little Generation Kill. That was the former lead singer of Exodus, Rob Dukes, with the track Vegas.
By the way, Victor, we need to talk about the L.A. County Supervisors vote that recently took place in Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm talking about voting for one fool or another. And the reason we need to talk about it is because of Ronnie James Dio, believe it or not.
Yeah, unbelievable, huh? I mean, I saw your tweet there, and
yeah, basically, guys, back on, it was Tuesday, June 3rd, the official Dio Twitter account, which is official RJ Dio, which I just hate this Twitter account. I don't know why I'm following it, but I feel like I have to continue to follow it. They tweet the stupidest things, and I feel like they hit a new low on June 3rd when they tweeted, "Today is the big day. You still have time to vote for Bobby Shriver, right? That must be Maria Shriver's brother or something. Anyways, here's the tweet again. "Today is the big day. You still have time to vote for Bobby Shriver for L.A. County Supervisor. Polls open at 8 p.m. Stand up and vote." And then, you know, the backslash M forward slash to make the freaking stupid, you know, Dio metal sign.
Stand up and vote.
Stand up and vote. It's so freaking disgusting that this Twitter account is used for something like this. Now, Bobby Shriver, I'm guessing that's Maria Shriver's brother or nephew or somebody, you know, and Maria Shriver is world famous as being part of the Kennedy Group family, and she was married to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I guess they're divorced now, or separated or whatever. I really haven't been following. I don't know what Bobby Shriver's policies or stances. I don't even know if he's a Democrat or Republican. I'm assuming he's a Democrat, but who knows? But I think it's disgusting that they're using Ronnie Dio, who, as far as I know, he wasn't Ted Nugent, he wasn't Tom Morello, he wasn't Bruce Springsteen, he wasn't telling us who to vote for when he was around. I don't ever remember him throwing his hat into the politics arena. And I think this account may be controlled by Wendy Dio. I don't know, but it's just, this is an all-time low, guys. They are taking one of the greatest metal singers of all time, and they continue to, I don't know, I want to say drag his name through the mud, but I'm not sure if that's too strong. But I think it's BS. I think this Twitter account should be reminding us of how great Dio is, but all it is some sort of publicity thing to sell a bunch of stuff that Dio probably would never approve of. And now they're telling us how to vote. They're doing things like, you know, go LA Kings for the Stanley Cup. It's like, was Dio a Kings fan? I always thought Dio was a basketball guy. Maybe he liked hockey too. I don't know. I just think, knowing what we know about Wendy Dio and how quickly she remarried after Dio died, how she apparently had a boyfriend for decades before he died, I find the whole thing weird. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should let one of Dio's girlfriends or something control the account. And you know, I do hear bits and pieces that, you know, maybe it was a relationship we don't understand. Maybe it was more of a friendship relationship. And that's fine. That's fine. Maybe that's the relationship they had, you know, a manager slash friend. And maybe the marriage never worked out, since we know from Stephen Piercy's book that she was in the early 80s already chasing, you know, young hard rock and metal guys around the strip trying to get them in bed. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just feel like this thing. Okay, like, here's a tweet. 100% of the proceeds go to the Dio Cancer Fund. Get this limited edition shirt. They're selling a shirt. I guess that's cool. Right. But I just feel like so much of this stuff is, is lame. I'm sorry. I don't like it. You know, I really don't like it. I mean, I don't know if you heard the guys on Metal Sucks interviewed Wendy Dio. It was a terrible interview. And I'm one who's championed that podcast and said I liked it. I haven't been listening to it as much anymore, but it was like no questions. I almost got the vibe they're not even aware of anything about Wendy Dio and how a lot of the fan base like you and I, Victor, just don't really approve.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm still thinking of Stand Up and Vote. What that was better than I Vote at Night or Holy Voter. You know, yeah. Last in line, that would have been, you know, a little bit better. Last in the voting line, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And this Dio tribute, I guess all the money for that, I'm hoping, goes to the Cancer Research Fund. You know, you had Lizzie Hale and even Metallica on this recent Dio tribute record. Is it that I haven't researched this, and I probably should before I say this, but is it 100% of the proceeds from this CD are going to cancer research? And what does actually 100% of the proceeds mean? I guess that means after they cover costs, 100%. And what is cost? Does that include a salary to Wendy Dio for organizing the whole thing? It very well might, you know. So maybe after she makes $100,000 off it, maybe after she makes $10,000 off it, then 100% of the proceeds go. Because, of course, maybe she had to pay herself to organize this project. Maybe not. Maybe she worked her ass off and did it all for the cancer research fund. I don't know. You hear stuff like 100% of the proceeds and just, you know, you look at nonprofit groups who pay their CEOs, you know, $200,000 a year, right, and 100% of their proceeds are going to whatever their cause is. So saying stuff like that doesn't really impress me. And I'm skeptical of the whole thing. I'm even, you know, skeptical of, you know, like, as much as I like the live records they put out, after his death. I mean, that might have been stuff he didn't even want coming out. The whole thing is strange to me. And we've been over this before, you and I, Victor, and I just don't like it. And when I saw that thing coming off his Twitter account telling us who to vote for, I don't care if the guy's, you know, Green Party or Tea Party or Republican or Democrat. The Twitter account should not be used for that. Period. I really don't want to give any more money to the Dio camp, because I don't understand who's profiting and controlling the camp anymore, and I have a bad feeling about it.
Yeah, well, when I spoke to Vinny Appice, I asked him about what he felt about how Dio's legacy is being handled, and the one thing that I brought up was the Dio baseball, which I thought made little sense. You know, I know that he was a big Yankees fan, but, you know, do you need a Dio baseball? It just doesn't make sense. And he pretty much said, you know, yeah, some of these things are real head scratchers, and it was pretty much up to the fans, you know, to determine whether they thought something was worth buying or not. Like you said, you know, those live albums, the packaging and everything seem really cool, but, you know, again, you bring up a good point. Maybe it's something that he didn't even want to have released, you know? So who knows? Who knows? And I don't know. I think it's just plain dumb that, you know, as you're saying, they have, you know, Go Kings and this and that. You know, I would, you know, right along the lines of what you said, I would hope that everything would focus on his career, maybe. You know, I don't know, just different historical facts, or just have, you know, maybe links to YouTube of, you know, cool performances or things like that. I mean, I think people would understand that and think that that was neat, but, you know, dip your toe in politics and just bogus, you know, merch, you know, just.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing on Wikipedia. Ronnie James Dio, This Is Your Life, and this is the tribute record that came out recently, like, what, within the last, when did it come out? I don't know. Oh, it came out at the end of March. Yeah. and it features, you know, Anthrax doing Neon Nights, Tenacious D doing The Last in Line, Adrenaline Mob doing The Mob Rules, Corey Taylor doing Rainbow in the Dark, Hailstorm doing Straight Through the Heart. And there's some good stuff on here. You know, there's a Metallica medley. There is Glenn Hughes doing Catch the Rainbow with Simon Wright and Craig Goldie. You know, not surprisingly, Vivian Campbell is not on right. this record. But it says on Wikipedia, Dio died in 2010 from stomach cancer. Album proceeds were targeted for Dio's Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. Now, again, I don't know what that means, album proceeds. And I just know from the way that this stuff is always presented that, you know, when I say stuff, I mean proceeds and funds and stuff that who you could actually pay yourself like $1 million, and I doubt Wendy Dio did that, but she could say, well, after I make $1 million, because the time I put into putting this album together was worth $1 million, so once I make that, then the proceeds go to some sort of cancer fund. And I'm not saying that's what happened. She may be not making 1 cent off of the record, but, you know, who knows? I'm just skeptical of the whole thing. And I should probably research it and get back to you guys on trying to find out if she's ever stated that, you know, how much she profits off the record. What do you think, Victor?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because as we know, you know, there are all types of royalties and different things with the permission. I don't know. I guess because, you know, she managed him, maybe they don't have to pay certain fees. But I mean, anytime I see, you know, any type of nonprofit or whatever, as you've mentioned, boasting about what they donate, you know, it's almost more interesting for me to find out what they didn't donate, you know, because that's usually a bigger cut. I'll never forget after 9/11 and all the, you know, the stuff that the Red Cross did, it turned out that hardly any of that money that they actually collected went to anything 9/11 related. It was actually, I believe, on Howard Stern, they discussed how all the money they collected went to revamping their phone systems throughout the Red Cross. So, you know, a lot of these nonprofits raise money for different causes using certain, you know, tragedies, or in this case, you know, cancer, as, you know, a way to get people to pitch money in. And then a lot of times, you know, they donate 10% or less to the actual cause that they're talking about. So, you know, when you find out stuff like that, it's really heartbreaking. And at the same time, you know, so many people loved Dio's voice, his music, you know, his lyrics, and to use that as a, you know, as a way to bring his fans in, to give money and to, you know, maybe, you know, just continuously line someone's pocket. I mean, I understand if you're putting out an album, you know, people have to understand that a good percentage of, you know, a Dio, in this case, a live album, is going to go to her pocket, because, you know, she still runs the thing and she was the manager and whatever. But when you're doing a tribute album, you know, and you're saying, well, proceeds are going to, is it 1% of the 10% that, you know, you're setting aside? You know, how much is it? You know, there should be, I don't know, this is just me sort of thinking out loud, but maybe legally they should have to, you know, disclose, well, you know, out of X amount that's collected, X amount of your money is going towards, you know, the TJ Martell fund or whatever it is that the cancer fund actually belongs to. So I don't know, just a strange and shady way that people use to sort of sucker you in and take your hard-earned money and point it in a direction that you probably wouldn't have donated money to begin with if you knew, you know, what was actually behind it. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, we'll have to look into whether the Stand Up and Shout, I guess that's what it's called, Stand Up and Shout Cancer.
Yeah, I know it's part of the TJ Martell Foundation. I'm not sure how much they give. They always boast about, you know, how much money they've donated since Ronnie passed away till now. But again, you know, maybe that's just 1% of everything that they've ever collected since they, you know, put the whole fund together.
Yeah. Is it, what is it? Is Dio Stand Up to Cancer? Is that the fund? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's called Stand Up to Cancer is the charity organization. Is that right, Victor?
That sounds about right.
I wonder, there's these websites where you can get a rating on charity organizations. I wonder how that one rates. Don't know. I don't know if that's Stand Up.
Yeah, Stand Up and Cancer Fund. Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. But again.
Oh, okay. Because there's another one called Stand Up to Cancer. I don't know if that's the same one. Stand Up and Shout. Anyways, we'll have to research this. Obviously, we don't know all that much about what the actual fund is. But
well, even if it's rated, you know, if it's part of the TJ Martell, I'm sure it's, you know, that it's almost being rated as part of that. I'm sure that it isn't being rated as a separate entity. I mean, I would assume that's probably one of the benefits to, you know, piggybacking off of a, you know, a famous cancer fund in this case.
Yeah. Anyways, very tragic that we have lost Dio. He's been gone a number of years at this point, and I feel his Twitter account is misused and have always got a kind of a bad vibe from his Twitter account. And that was cemented for me and confirmed for me when his Twitter account told me to vote for somebody, which, you know, in an election, which I thought was just lame. And I don't remember ever hearing about politics. Well, I mean, let's just say, for the most part, we never heard about politics in Ronnie's songs. And if we did, it was more left up to the listener's interpretation, at least in my opinion. You know, I don't remember him ever calling out any different political parties or candidates
right.
Cutting them down or blowing them up one way or the other. And you know, the way his lyrics were, if he did actually write that, I think they would be a little more, you know, veiled in poetry and stuff. But anyways, let's move on. What else is going on this week? Do you want to play another song or what should we do?
Sure. I mean, do you want?
I don't want to play any Dio after saying all that stuff. I tell you what, we were talking about Chris Poland. You and I were emailing back and forth about him earlier, and I was thinking maybe we could feature some of his music. Now, you interviewed him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was such an important part of those first, what, two Megadeth records? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was part of Killing Is My Business. And actually, he worked on three because he worked on that, Peace Sells, and he worked on The System Has Failed. He did some solos on that.
Oh, wow. So he came back for that record?
Yeah, he came back, and there were...
In 2004, right?
Yeah, there were issues between him and Mustaine at the time because there was talk about, you know, Chris being part of a touring lineup, and there were some sort of issues with it. And I don't know if it was, you know, something that was rehashed from the old days or if it was something that came up at the time, but apparently some equipment went missing and it was blamed on Chris and things didn't work out as a result of that. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the complete story. I didn't ask him that when I interviewed him. I mean, it was more based on the the Peace Sells album for the classic album series, and I actually got him to comment on Blizzard of Oz as well. He wasn't really to discussing anything else. He quickly shot everything else down and said, "Well, you know, I don't listen to much metal anymore, although I used to love, Sabbath and Randy Rhoads playing and this and that." So, you know, I was grateful that he did talk about Peace Sells with me, and it was sort of odd. He would only do the ID for me if his daughter joined him. So,
interesting. Well, let's get into a little Chris Poland, because I do think he was a real important part in expanding the boundaries of metal and even progressive metal. When you look at those, especially that second Megadeth record, there was some real technical stuff on there, and Mustaine, of course, continued to push the envelope with that later, especially after Marty Friedman had joined the band. But I do think Chris Poland was a big part of the early Megadeth sound, which again was just a big part of heavy metal history and expanding the boundaries of heavy metal. So I wanted to get into a little Chris Poland a little after he left Megadeth in 1990. This is the title track off an album he put out called Return to Metalopolis. So let's check it out now on Talking Metal. Just heard was Return to Metalopolis by Chris Poland, 1990. I've never interviewed Chris, but Victor has, so go back and check that episode out of Victor's podcast. It's Mars Attacks. You can check him out at marsattacksradio.com. Victor comes and does special guest co-hosting quite often here on Talking Metal, at least a couple times a month, sometimes more, right, Victor?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to join in and help do some of these Friday night shows, and it's always a blast for me to discuss various things that obviously appeal to all of us within the hard rock and metal world. And it's great just to be able to chew the fat, as they say, and talk about bands, discover new bands. We talked about Rob Dukes a little earlier. Got hooked on the Generation Kill thanks to Talking Metal. So there you go.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent. Guys, check Victor out, MarsAttacksRadio.com. He's on iTunes. You can search his podcast there and subscribe to it. You can support what we do here on Talking Metal with a PayPal donation. You can do that on TalkingMetal.com. And you can also use our Amazon links in the show notes. If you look closely at the bottom of the show notes on TalkingMetal.com, there's a link that allows you to open Amazon by going through Talking Metal. Now, this really is great for us because... And when I say us, I mean us and Talking Metal and you, the Talking Metal listener who wants to support Talking Metal, because a lot of you are buying things on Amazon. So this just adds an additional step to your shopping on Amazon. All you need to do is, instead of just going to Amazon.com, you go to Talking Metal and you use our site to open your Amazon. Just click on that link. It opens your Amazon. Buy whatever the hell you want to buy. It's still the same exact price. And for whatever reason, I don't know, but Amazon gives us a kickback on this. So support Talking Metal by buying things on Amazon. And before you buy it, just go to TalkingMetal.com and use our link to open up Amazon. And again, I mentioned the PayPal donations. There's a PayPal tab there on Talking Metal. And please leave a review on iTunes for Talking Metal. And please listen to our live stream 24/7. We're playing music on Live 365. You can download the Live 365 app for your iPhone or Droid, or your iPad, or you can just go to live365.com and search Talking Metal. Cool. So, Victor, I really appreciate you joining me tonight. I'm coming to you again from Brunswick, Georgia, which is the part of Georgia. There's a small section of Georgia that actually has coastline. It borders the ocean, like a 80-mile section of Georgia, just north of Florida. And that's where we are, and it's beautiful down here. We're on the beach today and having a nice vacation. When are you going to take a vacation, Victor? Are you going to come over here to the States anytime soon?
Ooh, I need to... finish working on my house first, and hopefully soon. You know, I keep saying that, but there seems to be different obstacles that pop up. Definitely chomping at the bit to go back stateside and hook up with you and John and do something in person, as opposed to doing something over Skype.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to have you back here. I know it's tough, though. And I hope the new house happens for you soon. I know you've been working hard on that for a long time. Are you getting closer at this point?
Yeah, I pretty much gave the contractors an ultimatum yesterday and said, look, we need to be moved in by the end of July, or we're looking for someone else. And they told us that that they were going to do everything they can to wrap everything up. I mean, there's just small details left. They need to spackle the walls, paint the walls, put the wood flooring down on the top two levels of the house. And on the bottom level, they need to add some cement and tile that. And we should be good to go. So, I mean, it's there isn't that much left to do. It's just been taking forever, which is the norm over here. So,
all right. Well, good luck with that. Hey, man, before we go, I want to play this. We didn't plan this out in advance. I'll just throw this at you live here on the record. Doyle, the guy from the Misfits.
Recently,
like within the last 2 weeks, got the Abominator record, came out back in 2013. Dude, I freaking love this record. I really think that if I would have known about it back in 2013, it may have ended up on my best of list. I didn't know about it. Have you heard the record, and what do you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. It was a different direction for what he had done in the past with Glorious Frankenstein, which was the other project that he was working in since leaving Misfits. And it seems as if there were issues with the distribution of the album, because Wazada was available on iTunes for a time, then it disappeared. I remember I was going to...
And then it came back in October, because I was reading a little bit about it. I think then it was re-released or whatever in October.
Yeah. I thought it was good, you know, and unfortunately I'm one of these guys that, you know, digs almost anything that comes out of the, you know, Misfits family tree. I really enjoyed the last Misfits album, actually. I thought there was a lot of cool stuff on there, although I know a lot of people, with only Jerry being part of that, you know, don't consider it a Misfits album. But hey, you know, as we've discussed a million times already, he's allowed to use the name. So
now Doyle is he's the brother of Jerry, right?
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They accused Metallica of plagiarizing from them years ago. They actually had a project they put together with Jeff Scott Soto of Yngwie Malmsteen fame, and they accused...
That's a weird combination.
Yeah, the album or the band was called Christ the Conqueror, Christ with a K, and it was, I don't know, some sort of like Born Again mumbo jumbo, and I remember like reading it while I was back in college radio in the early 90s, and this was a year after Metallica's Black Album came out, and what they were saying was that they had played the demos for, I guess, James Hetfield and Kurt at I forget if it was at the Nassau Coliseum or the old Brendan Byrne Arena, which is now the Izod Center, and they said that, oh, well, you know, they had plagiarized Wherever I May Roam from them, and I forget what other track, but it was just sort of a whole weird set of occurrences, and there's something about it online. I read about it, like, I don't know, about a year ago, but I don't know, just odd. And again, I love that whole Misfits tie-in, that whole family tree, and I actually got to speak to Tommy Victor from Prong about the album Earth AD for the Classic Album series. And it was a very cool discussion, because it was more of a history lesson for me, because he worked at CBGB's and he was heavily influenced by them, and now is obviously, you know, playing with Danzig and has been playing with Doyle on stage when they do the whole Misfits portion of his legacy shows. So he had some interesting insight regarding that. And Abominator, getting back to that, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but was a very cool album, and, you know, under the proper circumstances would have probably reached a lot more recognition than it did. And he's out there now. Supporting Arch Enemy. Apparently he's dating their singer. So there you
he's
go.
He's dating her?
Yeah, that's what I read earlier today.
Because I saw the article, which the whole reason I ended up checking out Doyle's Abominator record was because I saw the article that there was basically an article about him and the singer and about how he respected her so much as a singer. And he was a big fan of her voice even before she was in Arch Enemy. But I had no idea. It was almost made it just sound like he was more of a fan of hers. But wow, that's crazy. I mean, she's got to be mid 20s and he's like got to be almost 50. So, wow. All right.
Yeah. He's definitely older than the two of us, because Sting, who played with you guys, went to elementary school with him.
Yeah, well, he played on Walk Among Us, which, you know, he wasn't on some of the early Misfits stuff, but he was on Walk Among Us, which came out in 82. So, yeah, I mean, he had to be, like, what, 20 by that point, I would think, so...
he posted, just Steve posted their fourth grade picture, and that was from 72.
Okay, yeah.
So,
okay, well, let's wrap up today's show with a song called Dreaming Dead Girls off of Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein's record, which is called Abominator. This came out in 2013. It sounds like the release was a little fumbled, if you will, according to Victor and also according to what I've read. And I think it's a very, very solid record through and through. It definitely leans more metal than punk, in my opinion. Although this particular song, the hook is very, I would say, Misfits-esque in a way. But yet still more of a heavy metal vibe about it. And again, it's called Dreaming Dead Girls. Definitely go buy it on iTunes and support Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein's 2013 release, which again is called Abominator. Guys, thanks for listening to Talking Metal. Be sure to check Victor out on Mars Attacks and check out all the other podcasts available on the Talking Metal Digital Network. Mitch LaFon's One-on-One and Talking Rock, of course, Mars Attacks and Talking Metal. Thanks, guys. Victor, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Here is Dreaming Dead Girls by Doyle.